Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Shiver. You canna beat this grand, doing it, Marcos. This week we have part two of our interview with former captain Stephen Noble. In this part, Stephen talks about becoming a captain and that Petrofac Cup run in 2016.
I want to mention a game up at Elgin. Before you got sent off, but you weren't the only one that was sent off that day. I think Scott Ross and Colin McDonald got sent off as well. Tell us how that came about then.
Callum, Callum was first to get sent off, wasn't he? Callum was a late tackle, was a poor tackle, he was late on the point. I can't remember if it was a straight red or not, but I remember it was a great tackle. I remember Callum getting sent off there. Mine was for a second booking for diving, and I never dived. I used to be quick then. I'm not as quick now. And I was running full pelt, and the boys just caught me. But he's caught me up balance, and maybe I could have stayed up. I don't know, but he's caught me, and I've been down. And the ref, what was the guy's name again? What was his name? The ref's name. I need to get that again. But he had a few shockers. That ref had a few real shockers. And I actually remember. So I'm from Paisley, but I stay in Barrhead now. And I remember going down to watch. It was not long after the Elton game. I went down to watch. We must have had a Saturday off, or it was a Wednesday night. I thought I'm going to watch Athlone, local junior team. Went down to watch them, and he was refing the game. And I remember thinking that's probably because he had a shocker up in the Elgin, down to the juniors. But he was, I can't remember his name, but he was terrible. And I remember getting him a few times after it. He was rubbish as well. I think he actually sent Scott Ross off about three or four times, the same guy. So I remember that happening a lot, my last season, I think it was, Peterhead sent him off. But I then Scott Ross, I think he just lost the plot, didn't he? It was near, I don't know if it was near the end of the game or whenever it was. I think it was the first half I got sent off. I can't remember that.
I think you and Colin were both first half. And Colin was quite early on. In the first 15 minutes.
Aye, I can remember it was a bad tackle, but I think most people would have just booked you for it, especially that early on in the game, but he must get a straight red. I can't remember what my first booking was for, just remember my second booking was for diving. And then, what was the score that game? Have you got a score there or not?
I've got to do this 2-0. 2-0.
I think maybe we'd have won with three sent off, but then the same happened. Dunfermline, I was one of the three that got sent off that game in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was a feisty affair, shall we say.
Aye, all because the young boy, was his name again, Josh, the wee guy who played for Dunfermline, Josh, I can't remember his surname now, the English guy. He pitched a wee wind up. Supposedly a really nice guy as well. I hated playing against him because he was just that typical wee guy. He just wanted to kick. But he was good at it, and it obviously worked. He was winding people up. But supposedly he's a really good guy after that, is what lots of people used to say. But he, Jamie Redmond, done him first of all, red card. Then I get a chance to do it. I seen it happen. I seen him setting up, and I thought it was my chance to clean him out in the corner flag, and I was a bit late. So I get sent off, and then during the scuffle, big boy Gregor Buchanan stands in Jordan Brown's toes, and Jordan reacts to him standing on his toes, and shoves him, and then he sends Jordan off as well. So I three off. It was right on half time actually. So I think it would be 3-0 that game, I believe.
3-0, yeah. But it was, I think the goals were late on.
Aye.
Considering you were due to 9, but yeah. I think if I remember correctly as well, I think Andy Rogers got a bit of a wither with his Twitter after that game as well, didn't he?
Oh, sorry, he did. Aye, Andy did. Actually, I was sitting with him. Because Andy's obviously a Falkirk fan. Mm-hmm. He says he's a Falkirk fan. Andy tweeted a bit. It was something to do with Fife, wasn't it? Sliding Fife, I think.
He described them as something that wasn't a very flattering, shall we say.
I remember mutants or something.
Yeah. But he came off of Twitter after that.
I don't think he's been back on it, has he?
I think so.
Andy loved to be controversial. Andy was always like that. He was a character, Andy. He was a character. He loved that. Didn't he like Dunfermline, obviously. being a Falkirk man, and if you remember, we played them the next game we played them. I think it would have been, no, the next game at East End Park it would have been, wasn't it? You read, the next time we played them at East End Park, the Dunfermline captain, Andy Hagan, tried to do, I don't think he tried to break his leg, but it was a horrendous tackle. And it was all just for the crowd, I think, because the crowd were obviously booing Andy and stuff. And Andy came on as a sub. I think we might have won that game. I can't remember if we won that game or not. We might have won that game 1-0 or drew, I can't remember. But I think we done well that game, because we always struggled when we went to East End Park. And that was because Andy came on for maybe 10 minutes or something, and that, because I don't know if you've seen it, it's been his duty to the fans to try and, they try and injure Andy, or try and take Andy out of the game, and they try to kick him, and I think he missed him. I don't think he caught him clean, but he got a straight red for him. And that was all because of Andy's comments on Twitter.
So there's a lesson to be learned from Twitter, then?
Pretty much, I just...
you mentioned the captaincy. You were becoming a regular captain. Was that a conversation you had with Jim, or how did that come about?
So, obviously, Callum had been the captain for a few years. And then Callum got that bad knee injury, so he'd done his cruciate, which meant he was going to be out for a while. We knew he was going to be out for a year, so he gave it to Scott Gotham, who with Scott, obviously, I'm still good mates with Scott, and very experienced at the time, obviously continued to play for years after that, very experienced at the time, good choice of a captain, type of captain, probably the captain of most teams, because he's a big personality, he's big in the dressing room. Everybody listens, and then obviously Scott left, and it was a case that we were kind of ever the group had been travelling with, so obviously I spent a lot of time on the bus with these guys. So I'm the time we trained in Aberdeen, we actually trained at Banks of the Eat at the time, obviously changed to Forfa. We trained at Banks of the Eat at the time, and we would go up and we'd get to know each other really well. So like Robbie Winters and Steve Maguire and Ross Smith, we'd all travel up together, so you got to know each other really well. And what was happening at that stage was there was a lot of people only enjoying it at the time. We were losing games, obviously, same. When you're losing games, people don't enjoy it. So we went on a sticky patch at that stage when we were expected, obviously, to be the second best team in the league behind Rangers. We went on a wee sticky patch, and Scotty left, and Robbie had left, and I think Squire might have left by this stage as well. So there was it was totally different. Andy Rogers had come in at this stage, actually, so Andy was a new guy onto the bus. So the bus was changing, and I was the same, because I was good mates with all these guys, and these guys were leaving, and I was like, this is one of our sort of mates, the team are all leaving type thing. But anyway, Jim, it was actually David Nichols that phoned me at first, it just to sort of sound me out about how I was feeling and all that sort of stuff, and I had changed the formation, and I wasn't enjoying the way we were playing and things like that, and I just told him that on the phone that I wasn't enjoying the way we were playing. So anyway, Jim took me in, Elgin, I think it was Homie Elgin actually, I think that was again, and he took me into his office and just said, look, I'm going to make you captain, and anybody that's played with me knows that I'm saying Scotty's the typical captain, and he is, he's normally a big personality in the dressing room, and that's not me, I'm not a big personality in the dressing room, I'm not the loudest guy, I'm not, when they walk in the dressing room, I'm not a guy like make the jokes and all that. I'm just kind of don't keep myself. It's just the way I am. I'm more laid back, and I'm not the type that's going to be in your face. Like Callum is more very loud and vocal in the park, and so that's your typical captain, somebody that speaks all the time. And that's maybe not as much as I was, but I always wondered why Jim had picked me to begin with. But we went on a crazy run. I was captain. We played Elgin, we drew the game, and then we won every game up to the East Fife playoff game. That was the first game we lost as I was captain. So obviously that was, I don't know if it was maybe a superstitious thing, keep on winning games, keep on as captain. But then he did later tell me, a couple of years later, that the reason they made me captain, because he ended up taking the captaincy off me after the season, the Petrofac season, because we went on a terrible run after that, and they took the captaincy off me and gave it to Simon, which was fair enough. There's no problems with that. I enjoyed being captain, but it wasn't something that I was desperate to do. So what happened was he actually said to me the reason I'd made me captain was because it was the way I was on and off the park. So gave everything, always 100%. Would he thought maybe I was a wee bit more sensible off the park, where I'd done things the right way, and he wanted it more, instead of being a captain as that way, it was more a model. He wants people to follow the way I would act on and off the park. So that was his, that's still, I believe that still is his theory of, you'll pick somebody like saying Scott Brown's the captain now, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say that, because when Rory left, we were kind of wondering who the captain, the obvious ones would have been like a Simon Ferry, a loud character, but it was Scott Brown who got it, and the way you're sort of describing why, you can see why he picked Scott Brown as a captain.
And that's exactly that. I've seen Scott be made captain, and Scott's similar to myself. Scott's quite quiet, and he isn't a guy that's going to be dead loud and vocal. And Simon, obviously, is hilarious, right? One of the funniest guys I've ever met. But I don't think he likes that side of being captain. So, and he's doing a bit of coaching all that now as well, isn't he? So, I don't think Simon likes being that side of captain. So, that's why Jim's obviously picked Scott, because that's the same model as why he picked me. And they want people to focus. Obviously, Scott's he keeps himself really fit, and he's sort of the ultimate professional type thing. So, I'll be why he's picked him. It's just the same idea as why he's picked me.
What was your first thoughts when you were offered the captaincy? Was you quite taken aback by it, or was you like excited for it?
I was quite excited because, like I said, I was maybe down a wee bit because I'd lost my mates in the team and they had left, and I was thinking to myself, this could be me. I was looking forward to playing, and I thought maybe I'd come at the end of the season. I didn't want to just chuck it there and then. I would have seen my contract out and stuff. But I was kind of a wee bit downhearted because I had lost. We were getting beat, which wasn't great, obviously. We'd been on a bad run, and I'd lost my mates in the team and stuff who'd left. So because of that, giving me the captaincy sort of gave me that wee kick up the backside I needed, I think, just to say, look, let's go on with this, and then I did enjoy it, and obviously the season after was as my favourite season as a player, and will be probably my favourite season as a player, because that was a great season, obviously, win the league, captain, great group of boys. I made team of the season that year. We all went on holiday at the end of the season, we went to Iglo together and all that, so it was good. It was good. Maybe getting the captain gave me that that ambition to stay and continue to play, and then obviously ultimately led to my best season playing, and then Petrofac Cup final in a couple of years' time.
Is that a mark of the manager that Jim is, then, that he could see something in you that maybe you didn't see, and he trusted you with the captaincy?
Aye, quite possibly. I would agree with that. He was obviously really good with me at that stage, and he probably identified that I was maybe going down that path where I thought, nah, it's time for me maybe to go. And he's obviously at this stage, he created his philosophy at this stage, which probably still is to this day, is you need a combination, a North-East boys combined with Central Belt boys. And he'd maybe seen... He'd seen the Central Belt players were just drifting away, and that was the first. We were the first group of players that he ever done that with. Because when we came in, there was loads of Dundee boys, loads of Dundee and Aberdeen. That's all there really was when he first came in as a manager. And then obviously he had quite a big clear out and brought in a lot of us through the Central Belt, and then ended up bringing boys up to Edinburgh, like Nicky Riley and Leighton McIntosh and all them. It was probably, he maybe did, he probably seen that and thought, right, let's see, and obviously, I know he obviously rated me at that time to give me that.
So let's talk about the Petrofac then. Obviously, the occasion itself, but we'll talk about the run, because the run itself wasn't exactly easy, but you had Brechin, Falkirk, Stenhousemuir, and then Queen's Park. Which are memories of that kind of run up to the final?
The Falkirk game, really, I didn't actually play the Falkirk game, I was injured that game. But the Falkirk game is what got us to the final. We got lucky with the rest of them. We got lucky with the draws with the rest of them. But it was the Falkirk game. For Rory, doesn't it? Obviously, Rory scores five that game. So I think that was the game. There's always going to get to a final. Whether it be the Challenge Cup or whatever, you're going to have to come against a top championship team at some stage. And Falkirk were other than Rangers, I would imagine Falkirk would have been one of the favourites to win that competition. And Rory just was unbelievable that day. And I just came back, I tweaked my hamstring the week before. I think I'd tweaked my hamstring maybe two weeks before or something. And I went to the game, and Greg, the physio, thought, well, we kind of knew I wasn't going to be fit for it anyway, but I was fine. And to be honest, you're going into the games, the manager probably wouldn't have wanted me to play me in that game. He would have wanted to keep me for, say, we were playing Brecon at the weekend, because it was a Tuesday, it was definitely a night game, I can't remember if it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night. So if I had a chance of playing, it probably would have kept me for the weekend game, because that's a game you're going in, not expecting to win. But then obviously Rory was just unreal that night, just hitting for all angles and I was getting in. That, and then I remember it was the four teams that were going into the semi-final draw was ourselves, Queen's Park, Rangers and St Mirren. And obviously being a Paisley boy, I've a lot got a lot of family of St Mirren fans, so I thought sort of a worst case scenario here. We're either going to best case scenario is you get Queen's Park, which means you've got a great chance to get to a final. The worst case scenario is you get to play Rangers in a semi final, you get to play Sunderland in a semi final. So I was wanting forward to it regardless of where it was going to be. And then we got lucky with the draw getting Queen's Park, and then you kind of knew it was going to be Rangers, because you would have been surprised if Sunderland had won that. And then at that stage, although I'm saying I would never get Sunderland in the semi-finals, at that stage you're desperate for Rangers in the final, because there was rumours floating about that it was going to be Hampden, and you're thinking this could be excellent, which it was. It was a great occasion, obviously, not a great scoreline, but a great occasion.
I was going to say, apart from the scoreline, what would be the day itself then? How does that rank?
The day was brilliant. So just the whole build up was excellent. So I remember the Wednesday, I took a half day on the Wednesday for work to go and do a press conference. So it was that sort of thing where you're just, it's again surreal, like I was saying about the first game against Rangers. That was a surreal week. And then I've done a press conference on the Wednesday. We've trained on the Saturday, we trained at Barryfield on the Saturday, Celtic's training ground. Not Celtic's old training ground. We trained on there on the Saturday, and then we stayed in East Kilbride. And it was good. It was just good for everybody to be together and all that, and then getting up in the morning. And obviously, it was totally different. So the atmosphere was totally different. Everybody's going to be nervous. You've got so many of your friends and family coming to watch you. You know you're going to be walking out to 50,000. You know it's going to be tough. You've played Rangers, played that. That was Mark Roberts' team. We played Mark Roberts' team in the League Cup at the start of the season that year. And it was totally different to Al McCoy's team. And it was hard to play against, very hard to play against. Players just basically went where they wanted. At times, like, you'd Tavernier and Wallace were the two fullbacks played like just out and out wingers, and they were crossing over at times, and unheard of for fullbacks to be crossing over positions. And I reckon they just went where they went. Obviously, could be vulnerable at the back, which then ultimately happened when they started to get up the leagues. But at that time, they were quite happy to leave the two centre-halves majority of the time, be against one, as it was against Rory, obviously. Rory was the single striker. Be against one, but we knew it was going to be a tough, tough day, especially in Hampden when it's that big. But the build-up to the full thing was excellent. It was totally different. I always remember Shane saying to me that. I'm normally just, as I say, quite chilled out and stuff. So I'd be sitting, most games, I'd just be sitting with my legs crossed with a coffee reading the paper or reading a magazine or the programme or something like that. But I wasn't there, obviously, in the final, and I'm pacing up there. I remember him saying to me about the training session after, and about how everything was different. Nobody was doing their normal routines, because they're totally different. So you're up and down, you're just... It's a hard one, because looking back now, you think, I'm excellent, highlight your career and stuff, but it's hard to enjoy it at the time, because all you're thinking about is, I better not make an arse of myself here, or I want to try and do the best I can, knowing that I'd soaked. So it was like 50 tickets there. So my mate had organised a bus. So it was a full supporters bus came, just for our sort of friends and family. So you're desperate just to do well for them as opposed to yourself, to be honest. So it's hard to enjoy. It's hard to just take it all in, because you're constantly, it's just the human nature. You think about the worst, and then after you can finally, the knackered after it, but you can finally go, right, I've done it. It's more so a wee bit of a relief than But then I know you'll look back in sort of 10 years' time and go, that was excellent. I'm so glad I get the opportunity to be there. But that's one that I'll cherish anyway.
And what was the moment leading the team out like?
It was good. It was obviously a very proud moment for me. And I had, like, my kids were in the stand. My kids, my wife, and my mum and dad were up in the sort of hospitality bit and stuff, which is, everybody get two tickets for that, so obviously great mum and dad. And you're facing them, you're coming out, and Bomber led us out, so Bomber's one of the guys, I think he's part of the committee or something. I don't know Bomber's real name, to be honest. But he led us out, and obviously Bomber's an older guy, and he was walking so slow. And I just remember that thing, and I remember Jim turning around to me and saying, look how slow, so he's walking dead slow out. He's obviously Jeff, he'd been a Peterhead fan all his days, and it was great for Jim to give him the opportunity to do that, because he had been a Peterhead fan, I don't even know what age he would have been at the time, but he'd been a Peterhead fan all his days, and that was obviously, that'd be his pinnacle of his life probably getting to do that. So I think he was just taking that in. I remember him walking dead slow out, I'm walking out with the Lee Wallace to begin with, but then because Bomber's so slow, the Rangers team were past us and we're still walking on our back. It was good to do that. And you kind of, you're very nervous in the build up, nerves, probably weeks leading up to it. But then once you're playing, it's like anything. Once the final whistle starts, it's just that obvious at the window and you're just thinking about the game. It was a tough game at the beginning. Obviously, Tavernier scored that cracker, and Ali Gilchrist was unfortunate with his own goal to begin with. And then the last two, I'll take the last two. I gave away a penalty, which I don't think it was a penalty, to be honest. Still, to this day, I don't think it was a penalty. And then the fourth goal, I get done too easy. I was knackered. My legs were gone. They brought in Michael O'Halloran, who is a flying machine, and he's done me down the line. He just touched it and went past me, and he's cut that across it, and Kenny Miller was just standing himself and tapped it in. So that was two late goals. If they'd been 2-0, they'd look better on our part. But the 4-0 then kind of looks a bit of a drubbing. But it was a great experience.
Do you sort of pinch yourself when you sort of see Kenny, the likes of Kenny Miller in the lineup playing against you? You think, oh, I'm playing against Kenny Miller here?
You do at times. Maybe to begin with, you think of it, like you try and maybe to think like yourself, you've probably watched these guys loads, so you kind of know what they're strong at and what they're maybe weaker at. So you do kind of think, geez, I'm going up against some of these guys. Obviously, if there's been guys in their team that are Rangers fans, and these probably guys they idolise a lot of these people. So I just remember thinking it's totally different. Like going up against these guys is they're obviously a few levels above you. So you just need to try and keep yourself in the game as much as you can. And I was majority of the time I played against Harry Forrest on that final, and it was a weird one. He would just drift out the game and he'd stay wide for ages and not be interested in getting on the ball. And then he'd come in and he'd be busy for 10 minutes and he'd be desperate to go on the ball, and then Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller's movement was unreal. When you see it in person, you're thinking, wow, this guy's played at a top level for so long, because his movement was unreal. It's just the way, just obviously things he'd learned by playing the game and things he might have been taught when he was away, when he'd been to managers or whatever, but his movement was excellent. It was hard to pick up, and even though he was in a fair age then, probably still, because his movement was so good, didn't really need to have the legs. So guys like that, and then Tavernier and Wallace, they were going everywhere. So I remember falling. Normally you wouldn't pass people along. So I was Forrester, done one of his runs, came in, and he was trying to be busy, and he's desperately going to go at this stage, and he's went right on the way across to almost the right back area. And I'm thinking to myself, I just need to go over him. It was too loud. I couldn't pass him on. Rangers players are literally just going everywhere at this stage. I'm just going to go over him. I'll just follow him the full way. I'll just stick with him. And as I've gone on, I've actually ran by Lee Wallace, who's playing like a number 10 striker. And as I'm running over, it's Tavernier that's got the ball on the left-hand side. And I just remember thinking to myself during the game, this is surreal, mate. Tavernier, the right back, is playing like a left winger, and the left back is playing like a number 10. And that was just the freedom they got, and they just would do literally whatever they want. Obviously, they get away with it against teams that are going to sit in against them when they give the fullbacks the freedom to go. But I just never think this is the real one. It was just dead hard to defend against, and that's why they beat us 4-0. And then I think the game earlier on that season, maybe 5-0 they beat us in that game. I can't remember, but it was a bit of doing as well with Ibrox.
You mentioned that obviously the nerves lying for maybe a couple of weeks beforehand. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think maybe that game itself was a distraction? Because you look at the results prior to that game and then the results the rest of the season, you hadn't won a game. You think it was the two losses before the final, and then it was the three in the league after, and then obviously the two in the playoff. Was it a bit of a distraction maybe?
Definitely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We could beat... We could be against, I know Forfar beat us, they were one of the teams that beat us the week before. If you remember, we actually beat Airdrie at Balmoir, and that confirmed that we were in the playoffs, and it confirmed that we finished second or third in the playoffs after we beat Airdrie at Balmoir, and then we never won again. So we could beat off, I can't remember who it was before Forfar, but we could beat off Forfar. That was the week before, and you could tell, and Jim did go nuts, because and everybody was... You were kind of like not going through tackles and things like that, and you weren't pushing yourself on that much because everybody was scared of getting injured, because this was going to be the biggest game of your career. And looking back on it, there probably was a wee bit of holding back. We'd made playoffs, so the way we seen it was that we knew that we were going to be playing here, whether it was we were home or they were home first leg, there wasn't going to be any difference. At that stage, we were second by quite a bit, I think. I think we were the only team that could actually catch Dunfermline a few weeks before that. Nobody else could catch them. Then we played the final, and then I remember the game after the final was against Brechin, and I played that game. I played centre half that game, and I had a torrid time that game. But at least I played, because there were so many guys. The reason I played centre half was because all of a sudden everybody was injured. So everybody was fit for the Rangers game, and then all of a sudden everybody's injured. and the makeshift centre half that day was left centre half, and Jamie Redmond was right centre half, and it was big Robert Thompson, he stays down. He's from Paisley, Big Robert. But I don't know who he's. I don't actually know who he's playing now. Maybe Allah, the bar. But he was brilliant that day. But it was because he was playing against two makeshift centre halves. Yeah. And I got him. I think I got him his move to the Hull Stadium. I said that to him, and I've seen him. I got me and Jamie got him his move to Dumbarton, which then ultimately led him go back to full time at Morton. And that was because he's a big guy. He's a handful, and he's just dominated. Predominantly, he just dominated me there, and that was we got hammered that day. And Brechin were bottom of the league at that stage. Just Brechin, Forfar, and Montrose. No, was it Montrose? I think it was the three Angus teams. They were all going for relegation. They were all struggling, and Brechin were really struggling, and they pumped us after that game. And that was a distraction. There, that was it. We're in a horrible momentum there, and we just get beat. It's the same when you're winning, you just feel as though you can beat everybody, and when you're losing, you feel as though you're never going to get a win again. And that's what kind of happened to us. We were in a game against Ayr, and if you remember, we actually played Ayr. We played Ayr in the league prior to that, when Rory got sent off, and that ultimately led that the home tie was going to be in Balmoir on the Wednesday, I think, and then the wee time was the weekend. But it was kind of like a dress rehearsal, obviously, and Rory gets sent off early doors, he gets sent off in the first half, I think, and they went on to beat us easily. And then that's maybe a psychological boost for them. Get into the playoff game, and I remember that we could beat significantly get beaten. Aggregate, didn't we?
7-2 overall. It was 4-1 and 3-1, I think, the two games were.
I remember thinking it was a bit of a doom. Especially the game down there.
You think that kind of momentum or lack of momentum carried on into the next season, because it was a really poor season overall?
I don't know really. Don't know what happened that season. Because we still had a good team, a good players, and if you look at every, it was like, so when we get promoted, we sort of established ourselves in the league. We maybe we done all right. We probably could have done better, and then we kicked on that season, the season of the Petrovac Cup, and then that season was just a disaster. Right? We just started off well. We done all right against Dundee United, if I remember, in the cup game, and then everything just we would have these meetings, we'd have these team meetings, and it was a case of what's happening. Nobody could give any answers. We just all of a sudden we actually signed the better players. We signed like Scott Brown came in that year, and Grant Anderson came in, who was still playing full time, and we signed a lot of experienced, good players, and we just it was something right, and it was working for us, and which ultimately led to us getting beat in the playoff final, and obviously that was my poor season as well. See, I had a poorer end to the season at the Petrovac Cup final year, and Jim had spoke to me. And he said, look, there's a year's contract there, but I feel as though maybe your heart's not in it anymore. My heart was in it, just that's what he felt. And I said, and I convinced him, no, my heart's still there and stuff. And that's what ended up obviously taking the captaincy off me and stuff. And so my heart's still in it. And he said, right, that's fine, okay, you've got another year. Free pre-season type thing. So Big Shane left, which was, I think we were all gutted that Big Shane left. And I don't know if Jim didn't want him, or I don't know what the script was for that, but obviously Shane ended up signing him again. But Shane had left, and that was probably a big loss, because at times, so we relied a lot on Rory. Like, 5 years I was there, we relied loads on Rory, and he always produced. But we're having Shane in there, it kind of gave you that wee bit of it was as if we didn't need to rely on Rory every single game, because Shane was excellent, and he's gone on to show that. He's now back full time here in Inverness, so Shane's a great player, and he could do everything. He could take the ball in, score goals, he was strong, he was really hard to play against. So losing Shane was a big loss for us, I thought, but it still didn't mean that we should have had a season like we did. It was just at stages, we just couldn't buy a win, and obviously I fell out of favour with Jim, and then my time was up there. I knew my time was halfway through that season, I knew my time was up. Forfar tried to take me on loan, and Jim said no, and then put me back in the team, and it wasn't a good season, and then I didn't play in the final, which was gutting, because I wanted obviously to try and rectify a poor season. I played the semi-final, which was Montrose. I felt as though I would have played in the final, and then I never even get stripped in the final, which was devastating for me, because I'd been there 5 years, and I went from being captain to not even getting stripped within a few months, and it was what it is. It's a ruthless business at times, football, isn't it? So.
Is that one of them things that just spiralled for the cup final, and then over the next few months it just sort of unravelled?
Aye, we never seem to get going ever since the cup final, and I don't know why that should happen, because we had results against Rangers and we kicked on after that, and it's just the cup final. I don't know, we never really played well at all after the cup final, and at times we'd pick up a win, and then you think, right, we're going to kick on, or we'd have a good performance, we're going to kick off the year and do well, and then we just go back to that and lose. And it was always, I think everybody thought at the time, there's no way Peter Head are going to end up in the playoff, because who was it getting relegated? Can't remember who we went straight down. Somebody went straight down. Then it was poor. But they were poor, and everybody knew they were going to go down. But it was always who's going to be second bottom, and nobody would have thought us, because we were obviously the year before that we'd competed. We'd nearly finished third, should have been second. So it was something you couldn't get yourself going, and ultimately led to a clear out. Which is the right thing to do. It was always going to be the thing to do. You sometimes need that clear out. That happens at teams. You have the same players for too long, and whether it gets stale or whatever, and you need something to happen. And ultimately, it was myself and Smitty and who else was left that was there for years? Jimmy Redman, Ryan Stratton, Scott Ross. Scott Ross signed on but ended up leaving, the same job. Andy Rogers had left during that season. So it came a stage where the League Cup winning team was gone, and that was it. We were kind of disbanded through that point of view, and there was the think was the areas left, and it worked obviously because he went and won the league, so it needed that freshen up, and it worked, and obviously thankfully back in League One.
Yeah, before we sort of touch on you leaving, you weren't renowned for your goal scoring, but the goals you did score at Peterhead, which one was your favourite?
Oh, my favourite. I've not scored many at all. I think I've 400 games or something like that senior I played, or more far off that, and 10 goals or something like that I think I scored. My favourite for Peterhead would have probably been the goal against Annan. So I got asked this actually a couple of months ago, and the goal against Annan, so it was a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. It was actually a rearranged game because the wind was so bad for a change up Peterhead. The game got abandoned. I remember the first half, the wind was crazy. It had actually been worse before. We played in worse, but the referee abandoned the game, got rescheduled. It was a Tuesday night. I was struggling to get up there in time actually, so was Ryan McCann. So what happened was Craig Tully, who was first team coach at the time, he hung about and waited for us. So he waited for me and Ryan to get away. I think I was uni maybe, and I had a lecture that I had to go to or something like that anyway. We got up there quite late, quite sharp. The boys were getting ready. We walked in, we got ready, and went to the game. We knew it was a big game because Annan were the only team that were going to catch us. That league, we felt as though Annan were the only viable threat we had. So we went to that game, and I can't remember how the scoring went, but we were up 2-1 at the time. I think they started really well, the tables had turned, and I went through, played a 1-2 with Rory down the line. Rory cut it back to me. I'm just about to score, or I'm just about to shoot anyway, and the guy brings me down, stonewall penalty, right? Stonewall, referee doesn't give it, right? So I'm raging, everybody's raging. Nobody, and apart from the referee, everybody, including all the other players, knew it was a penalty, he never gave it. And then literally, 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, it was almost identical. I've got the ball again on the left-hand side, I've drawn down the left, played it down the line to Rory. Rory's gave me a cut back, and I've put it in. First time as he's given me back, and I maybe came to a different angle. Anyway, I've scored, and then that went 3-1. And when you were saying about pictures, I should have sent you that one actually. That's one of my favourite pictures.
Everybody sort of piled on top.
Everybody's piled on top. That was for that goal. So that was that goal, and I scored. Jamie Edmonds grabbed me and pulled me down to have the full team. It kind of shows the unity in the team at that time, and it was because that the way you look at it, we were up, wasn't coming after that game, and that was it. We all felt so right, we're going to win the league now, because it would have been March or April time probably that game, so it was nearly the end of the season. There wasn't that many games to go, maybe 7 or 8 games or something left to go, and I just felt like we've won, we've scored there. I think they beat us down at Annan a couple of months prior to that, so it was good to get back on that. And at the time, there was a wee tiff-tap with Jim Chapman, Davey Nichols, and Jim Chapman said a few things about him in his interview, and I think Davey had ran by their dugout and things like that when I scored and stuff. So we just wanted any goals, it was great, and I've not got many to choose from, but that was definitely my favourite, probably my favourite goal I've ever scored, to be honest, that goal. Just because it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot. Ultimately, the way I looked at it is it won us the league.
Yeah. So obviously your time was up. Finished on a sour note, but sum up your time at Peterhead then.
My time at Peterhead was my favourite as a player. So it was my favourite spell was Peterhead, and I'm glad I got the chance to, because there's so many times I could have left. After my first season, I got off the contract with Ayr, and it was just in the road, obviously, there's no far from me. I opted back, decided to stay. Excellent, went on to win the league. The following year, I got off a contract with Albion Rovers, knocked it back. Again, close by, they were paying decent money at the time, so they were sort of matching wages and all that, and not quite matching, but they'd offered. And I'd knocked him back. Following year, Clyde, Barry Ferguson offered me a contract, knocked it back, Petrofac Cup final. So everything always I was always torn, and did I make the right decision? And I think I made the right decision every single time. So although I had obviously a lot of travelling for 5 years, I loved my time there. Obviously finishing a sewer note, which is just unfortunate the way my last season panned out, but my first 4 seasons prior to that were excellent, and I had the happiest time of my football career was my Peterhead days.
And is that a place that you would recommend anybody to go to and play for?
Oh, definitely. The club, I don't know who's involved now, because that's been about 4 years I've been away now. So I don't know who's involved now, but at the time, the guys are excellent, and I mean excellent. The guys behind the scene, and most of the clubs I've played at, the guys behind the scene have all been excellent. Even I'm playing with juniors now, and the guys behind the scene are excellent as well. But at Peterhead, you had like Stan Groundsman. Stan was a great guy, right? Stan Brown. Actually, Stan, a couple of years ago, he took me and Simon out for dinner. Giving him a lift over the years, so I actually popped up my time thing. It was 2 years yesterday, was 2 years to the day. So Stan was excellent, love Stan. Then Harry Fraser, me and Grant. So when I was studying, I had to work to do an elective placement, so you get to choose where you want to go, and I had to work my football team. None of them could accommodate me. Jim pulled me a favour and managed to get me in at Aberdeen, so I went and worked at Aberdeen for a month. But trying to stay up in Aberdeen Monday to Friday is extortionate. So it was going to cost me a fortune, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. There's no way I can do this. So the Harry and Ian has found out about my predicament I was in, and they put me up. So Harry put me up in this house. So I lived with Harry it was about a week and a half. I lived with Harry until Ian was away on holiday at the time. So Harry put me up, a week and a half, lived in his house with his wife and his daughter. His daughter was there planning her wedding, because they were getting married on the grounds of his house. So it was excellent. Harry was a great guy. And then Ian gave me a house that he didn't use. So it was a house just at, I can't remember what the wee tiny, tiny village across from Balmeda, just up from Balmeda anyway. And he gave me a house for the remainder 3 weeks. So he just gave me it, and I lived there, obviously rent free, and that allowed me to get that, because I would never have been able to do it. I couldn't afford the month it was going to cost me. It was going to cost far too much, and they put me up for that. That was just the type of things they'd done, and I've not got enough good words to say about Harry and Ian and Stan and even Roger. Roger kind of keeps himself to himself. Roger doesn't really get involved with the players as much, but when I left, Roger personally phoned me and thanked me for my time at Peterhead and said I'm welcome back any time and stuff. So Roger's just not as in with the players. He takes more of a backward step for that, which is fine, because probably most chairman will be like that. Harry and Ian are different. Harry would cook his dinner every Thursday, up at Forfar. Harry would cook everybody a meal for after training. I don't know if he still does that, if he's still involved or not, but he did do that. He used to started off with tea and toast, and then it just grew arms and legs, and it ended up. He made his hot dogs, then he made his chili dogs, and then he's making these big chicken dishes. Honestly, it was unreal, the food he used to make us. And obviously, he is a chef, Harry, so the food was excellent. And then him and Ian would be there. So you're talking guys that are very wealthy, and they could be wherever they wanted to be. And Thursday night, pouring down the rain, Forfar, they're standing watching us train. There's just the type of guys they were. So they were great guys, and for MD that goes up to Peterhead, it's guys like that. Like MD that's played at Peterhead will talk about how good they are, especially guys that have done all the travelling and stuff, and how well they treat you, because they put us up every Friday evening, and they need to pay anyway. I know a lot of teams that make you pay. So for example, East Fife, when East Fife beat us in that, I think they had to forego it was a win bonus or something they had to give up to allow to get put up for the night before they played us in a final or a playoff. And Peterhead would never, they always put you up, good hotels. Roger used to give us his restaurant at Cotton Bull, used to go there every most Fridays when we went up and things like that. That's another story, boys kind of ripped ass at that a bit, so we're not going there anymore. So because of that, they were great guys, and great guys to run a club, because they make you feel excellent. So they make you feel like, yeah, top players, because these guys, like I say, they're wealthy guys and they're treating you as like superstars, so it's brilliant. It was great to get treated that way.
Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We've gone well on longer than I was expecting. And we haven't even got through half of what I was going to get. We could talk for hours more, but it's been an absolute pleasure for you coming on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers,
Stephen.
Thank you.
That's all right. Thanks again. Cheers.
Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
A huge thanks to Stephen for joining us for what turned out to be a very interesting chat. Our thanks also go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening. That's it for this week. We'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.